Bibles to Joshua, the fifth chapter. We're going to get there in just a minute, but if you'll turn to the book of Joshua, the fifth chapter, and I'll kind of give you an idea of where we're going. I told you to turn there, but I'm actually going to read a verse out of Luke 11 first. It's going to be on our screens, and here's what Luke 11 chapter 1 says. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Here at Victory, we feel like our assignment is to make disciples. You've heard me say that 150 times. We're into discipleship here. And what I see in this passage is the heart of a disciple says, "Lord, teach me to pray." The heart of a disciple says, "I want to pray." These disciples were watching Jesus pray, and just a clue, if the Son of God had to pray when he was on earth, then you and I probably do too. If he needed prayer, I certainly need to be able to pray. And there was something about his prayer life that was so dynamic, so powerful, that the disciples said to him, you can't read the emphasis in that verse, but I imagine the disciples, it sounded like this: "Jesus, you got to teach me to pray like that. You got to teach me to pray like that." And I believe the heart of a disciple says, "Teach me to pray." This morning, we are beginning a new series we're calling Pray Like This. And I hope that I say some things today that you appreciate. I hope that you receive some revelation. Here we go. I hope you even get goosebumps this morning. But if that doesn't happen, what I hope beyond that is that your prayer life will grow. Goosebumps or no goosebumps, your prayer life grows. And so part of making disciples, part of fulfilling Ephesians 4:11 for us, equipping people, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, is to encourage you to grow in your prayer life. And so in this series, we're going to be addressing that. Here's why I'm addressing this today. Here's why I believe the Lord has prompted us to go into this series. Because there are things in our lives that we cannot change in the natural. There are things in our lives, in our marriages, in our families, in our nation, in the stock market. There are things that we cannot change in our physical, in our carnal self. Can I hear an amen? But prayer can bring us to different levels to accomplish those things that we need changing in our life. And I've actually spent the week kind of laying out this message, and it was kind of a Jody style message, because I'm real practical and logical, and I like to just kind of do things in a real logical manner. And I really felt the Lord shift that this morning as I was preparing. And so there's a little shift in what I was planning to do and what I believe God wants us to do. So which plan do you want to go with? Okay, we're going to go with God's plan, not Jody's plan, right? And so we'll go with God's plan. I was wanting to start this series by talking to you about the why we should pray. Because I believe the most important question, if we're going to change something in our life, or if we're going to reach for something, if we're going to go somewhere in our life, the most important question is why. Why should I do that? And so I had some amazing answers, but I'm not sharing them with you today. Instead, here's the shift that I believe that the Lord would have for us today. I believe that there are people in here today who need a breakthrough in your life. I believe there are things that we have wanted, things that we have desired, things that we know are God's will in our life that we are currently not walking in. Because I can read the Word and I can see things in the Word that God says are mine, but I'm currently not walking in them. Am I speaking to anybody here this morning? And so I want to talk to you about breakthrough prayer this morning. The power of breakthrough. The power for breakthrough as we pray. Now, if you're in Joshua chapter 5, this is where we're going to begin reading today. And we're just going to kind of read in Joshua 5 and chapter 6. But I want to set it up for you. Joshua 5, chapter 1, here's the context. Here's what's happening. Remember that Moses had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Everybody remember that? They went out of Egypt and they went into the wilderness. How long were they in the wilderness? 40 years wandering around the wilderness. Well, as soon as they came out, God had a promised land for them. So in God's mind, God's plan was for them to go right out of slavery into the promised land. That was God's plan. But it turned out that they needed about 40 years of work before they could get in the promised land. I understand that because I'm about to turn 49. And it's taken a few years for God to work on Jody, right? So we understand that journey. And so his plan for them was always to get them to the promised land. He wanted to get them to this promised land. And it was interesting how he, I'm going to use a modern term, how he marketed the promised land to them. Have you ever thought about this? How he marketed the promised land to them that would cause them to want to go into this promised land. What did he say about it? He said, hey, this is a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, in our modern terms, it just sounds sticky. But it was this idea that this is a good place. This is a place of prosperity, a place of abundance, a place of joy and fulfillment. Do you all feel that with me? Yeah. That God's desire was to get them to a good place. Right. And can I tell you, church, that God didn't bring you out of slavery to leave you with a slavery mindset. God called us out of slavery and he said, I've got something good for you.
Yeah, amen.
And he even marketed it so that it would appeal to the human nature. Because see, sometimes the message, let me address something. Sometimes the message we say this, you know, God wants good things for you, but his good things may not be your good thing. Anybody ever heard that? You know, like God wants good things for you. So he's going to give you cancer because that's going to be good for you. God didn't market the promised land of, hey, I'm going to bring you into a land of sickness. I'm going to bring you into land of depression. I want to bring you in. Are y'all with me? Congratulations, you're free from Egypt. Let me bring you into the land of lack. That's not how he marketed the promised land. He marketed it according to their own economy. He said, hey, this is a good place for you. And I'll say this to you, God has good plans for your life. Our God is our Father, and he loves us, and he wants good things for us. So, for 40 years, he's been preparing them. But before they could get in the good stuff, they had to deal with their own selves. They were free from slavery, but slavery wasn't out of them. They still had that slave mentality. And so the wilderness process is always to shape us so that we can walk in the promises that God has for us. So here they are in the book of Joshua. Moses had brought them out of Egypt. They had spent 40 years in the wilderness. Moses is gone as the leader of Israel, and Joshua rises up. And it's Joshua who brings them into the promised land. God dries up the Jordan River for them. Miraculously, these people come, they step foot on the place of promise, the promise of what God had for them. They're here. They're there at this moment, but they've just walked into it. And so join with me here in Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. Here, they've just come through the Jordan. They're just approaching, discovering what this promised land is. Pick up with me in verse 1. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. So the children of Israel walk into this promised land. The problem was the promised land was not empty. The promised land had enemies in it. God's promises for his people were in the hands of an enemy. The enemy possessed what was rightfully the children of God's. But when the children of Israel finally came across the Jordan, the hearts of their enemies began to melt. They began to quake and fear because the thought was the children of God are finally going to move into their promised inheritance. There's fear that we as the enemy are going to lose this, and the people of God are going to begin to gain some ground here, and there's going to be some growth and some defeat and some conquering, and the enemy's going to be ejected and God's people are going to be able to move forward. And because of that, the hearts of the kings melted. Here's Joshua and them. And all they know, what they know is the hearts of all their enemy is beginning to melt. Church, my hope is that hell right now is in fear. There's fear in hell that the devil himself is going, oh my goodness, some people are about to get set free. I'm about to lose the stronghold that I've had on families. I'm about to lose. The people of God are going to rise up and begin and find some new levels, and I'm going to lose the ground that I've gained. May hell be quaking right now in anticipation of what we're about to learn. Can you agree with me? Come on, let's just give the Lord a hand if that resonates with you. So we're talking about prayer, and Joshua and them are moving into the promised land, and I'm comparing that to our lives because God has good things in store for us, and there are places in our lives where the enemy has had strongholds for years and decades and even according to family lines, and I believe God's going to set us free, but we're going to have to learn the power of prayer. So pick up with me in Joshua chapter 6, jump one chapter ahead and begin reading with me in Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Remember that the first city that they came into as they began to advance into the promised land was Jericho. And we looked at Jericho. Jericho was a walled city. And when the children of Israel compared themselves, their natural strength, their natural ability to the obstacle in front of them, it looked insurmountable. It looked like this thing is impossible. And so I submit to you that if you're going to walk in the promises that God has for you, it's not going to be a minute before you run into situations that look impossible. Yeah. And can I tell you, this was an impossible situation. In their natural strength, this was impossible. A bunch of slaves who had been wandering around the wilderness for 40 years all of a sudden come to a fortified city that they're supposed to take. Impossible situation. And there are those of us sitting here today saying, my grandma was poor. My parents were poor. I'm poor. I'm not smart enough, I'm not educated enough, I'm not lucky enough, I'm not good enough, whatever it is. And that financial situation is your Jericho. Yeah. Right. The enemy has something that belongs to you. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's the idea of a healthy, godly, vibrant marriage. It just looks impossible. Has anybody been there? Yeah. Is anybody currently there? Like, I don't know, God. I don't know how I'm ever going to overcome this obstacle. Well, the truth is, in your own strength, you will not. Because it is too big. It's too big. Begin reading with me in verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. The entire city was in lockdown behind their walls. And the Lord said unto Joshua, now stop there. The Lord said unto Joshua, here's where we see prayer. Because the first thing that you need to know is, yes, God has a promised land for you, but it is going to, you can't operate in your natural strength. An enemy has possession of what rightfully belongs to you. But the number one thing you're going to have to understand is you have to hear from God. We have to hear. If I'm not going to do this in my own strength, I have to hear from God. And so Joshua, in prayer, the reason we pray is because we need God's plan, because my plan won't work. We need God's plan. But you're not going to hear God's plan from your pastor's mouth for your specific situation. God's plan for you is in God's mouth. And it needs to go from God's mouth to your ears. So the reason we pray is so that we, as Joshua, can hear what the Lord is saying. Continue reading with me. Here's what he says. See, have I given into thee thine hand Jericho? That's an interesting statement. Because here's Joshua standing there, and there's the big city. And it's completely locked up in huge walls. And God goes, see, I've given it to you. And Joshua's probably like, okay. Doesn't look like you've given it to me, but anyway, there's God's economy. And the king thereof, so the king, the mighty man of valor, they're all yours. And here's what he says. Here's the plan that God lays out for him. And you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. So, Joshua, in prayer, hears a plan from God for this situation, for this insurmountable situation in front of him. And here's the plan that God gives him. He says, okay, take all your men of war, and what we're going to do is we're going to walk around this city once a day for 6 days. Then on the 7th day, we're going to walk around it 7 days. And the Ark of the Covenant is going to be with you the whole time. And there's going to be priests. There's going to be 7 priests before the Ark of the Covenant. And there's going to be 7 trumpets of ram's horns. So a lot of numbers, a lot of things, a complicated plan. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to identify 2 numbers for me that show up in this passage. The first number is the number 6. It says for 6 days, we're going to walk around this thing. Now, if you know anything about Bible numerology, what you find out is 6 is the number of man. You know, 666, it's the number of man, right? 6 3 times, it's the number of man. So 6 is the number of man. But 7 is the number of completion or perfection. Yeah. And so here's how I want to encourage you in prayer this morning. How many of you have some obstacles that you need overcome in your life? Yeah. Anybody? You just need a breakthrough? I just need some things to change. Those things are not going to change based on our own strength or our own effort. We're going to have to learn to go to prayer and hear God's plan for the situation. But here's the plan. Once a day, for 6 days, let's walk around this building. What does the number of 6 represent? Man. I submit to you that if you're ever going to have any victory through prayer, the majority of your prayer time, is going to be God dealing with you. Wow. Yeah. 6 days. I did that. Sorry. So the first long stint of prayer was about them. And sometimes we American Christians who just like things really easy. And we like, 3G was great, but then 4G and 5G, and I don't even know where we are now because I'm the most illiterate technological person there is. But we want it faster, easier, quicker. I just want it right now, right now, right now, right now. Can I hear a Christian amen? An American Christian amen? We just want it right now, right now, right now. So I preach a message like this on prayer, and you go, well, man, right after lunch, I'm going to pray, and by mid-afternoon, I'm probably going to have this thing. My breakthrough should be here by sunset. But what I see in there is that you may have to pray and then look at those walls and they're still standing. And you may have to make another lap in prayer and talk to the walls from this side. And you may have to make another lap and talk to this wall and that wall. Because most of the time when we're praying, it's God shaping us. I'm the main thing. Listen, God is perfectly capable. I'm the limiting factor. So when I begin to pray, God begins to work on me. So part of your prayer, in fact, probably the bulk of your prayer life is going to be about getting you out of the way. So I want to encourage you, believers, get tenacious in your prayer. If you pray one time and it doesn't work, pray a second time. Pray a third time. Pray a fourth time. Pray and keep on praying. Pray and keep on praying. You're going to have to be gritty. You're going to have to develop some calluses on your knees. You're going to have to develop some determination and passion and pursue and push in prayer. I'm telling you, church, if you want a breakthrough, you're going to have to get after it. We're going to have to lean into prayer. We can't be soft, casual Christians and walk in the promised land that God has for us. There's an enemy. There's an enemy. And there's you that has to be dealt with. So 6 days. 6 days dealing with man. But on the seventh day, we're going to do this thing seven times. Seven is the number of perfection or completion. To me, it's a picture of having dealt with me or allowing God to deal with me in prayer to a point where I'm mature enough, where I'm positioned correctly to walk in my victory. Yeah. Now, compare that to the natural week that God laid out. What did God say at the very beginning when he created time? He said, in a week, there's 6 days to labor. The seventh day is God's day. Here's my promise to you, church. If you are hoping and dreaming and believing for the promised land that God has for you, the breakthrough into what God has promised you, if you're determined to get there, you're going to have to put in the time in prayer. There is time for us to pray. But the good news is that time of me praying, pushing, working in my humanity, there's at the end of that, whatever that time frame is, at the end of that, God has a day. Sunday's coming, church, in other words. You just need to keep praying, knowing that breakthrough's coming. There's a day when I'm not working anymore. This isn't about my passion. This isn't about my sweat. I've poured it out before my God. I've let him deal with me. And God's come. The God of breakthrough is coming, and walls are going to fall. Things are going to change. Victories are going to be won. New land is going to be gained on God's day. Now, the problem is I can't tell you when God's day is. I can just tell you Sunday's coming. So if you're here today and you say, Jody, I've been praying, and keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. I don't know if I'm trying to keep praying, church. Keep praying. You know, I do a lot of marriage counseling and you know, when I'm dealing with couples, I feel like I'm pretty competent at marriage counseling now. And so when a couple comes in and asks for counsel, I kind of know what to tell them. And most of what I tell them is based on their own actions. Okay, like how to, because I say this, that marriage is a skill set and you have to learn how to be married, how to have a healthy marriage. So in my counseling, I'm usually talking about their behavior. Because it's really simple. I mean, Ephesians 5 says to husbands, you're to love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's very simple. Now, simple doesn't mean easy. Right? If you've ever tried to lose weight, you know that simple doesn't mean easy. Is it simple to lose weight? Yes, it's simple. Eat less, work harder. Eat less, sweat more. Simple, right? But is it easy? It's not easy. And so, as I'm counseling couples, I'm usually telling them how to change their behavior to have the marriage that they dream of. But the problem is there always comes to a point where now you have the information. The question is, are you going to walk into it? Are you going to do it? And that's when I, as a husband, read Ephesians 5:25 and say, I'm supposed to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And then quickly I realize I cannot do that. I don't have the strength, which is when I go to my God and say, Lord, I know what you've told me to do. I know what the plan is. I know what the step is. I know what the actions are, but I in myself don't have the gumption, the ability to walk in those things. So then in prayer, I begin to cry out to God, Lord, I can do this according to your grace, according to your enablement. I can have this. I can be that. I can do that. And so church, even though we know the plan sometimes, we need God's strength to help us accomplish it. To walk out the plan that he's laid for us. Again, prayer, reaching to our God. So this morning, what I would like to accomplish more than anything else is that we would walk out of here with a commitment to be people of prayer. And I believe I'm specifically saying it this way to entice you that God has good things for you. In the same way that God marketed the promised land in a way that sounded good to the children of Israel to draw them to that, I'm marketing it to you this way. The things you want in your life, the breakthroughs that you need, they are found in prayer. And so what I'm doing is dangling the carrot in front of you right now. But ultimately what's going to change it is tomorrow morning. Not today. It's not in this room. It's in your living room. It's in your prayer closet. It's in your discipline. It's in your determination to get on your knees and begin to talk to God. Because a breakthrough is out there, but you're not going to accomplish it in your own strength. You need God. You need his plan. You need his grace to walk out the plan that he has for you. So I hope to encourage you this morning to become people of prayer. Second thing I want to accomplish is that you'd become passionate in prayer, perseverant in prayer, that you'd stick with it, that you wouldn't just throw up a spitball prayer. And if it doesn't happen by this afternoon, that we give up. May we be people of determined prayer and pray long enough to let God shape us. Because I know that if I, in my humanity, if I just keep calling on God, if I just keep going there, if I keep going there, Sunday's on the way, church. Sunday's on the way. God's day is coming. And listen, think about this, even on the Sabbath, God's day, you know what our job is on the Sabbath? Is to rest. Can I say this to you? If you do your work in prayer, there's a day when you're just going to be able to sit back and rest and watch God change it. Listen, they didn't push on the first stone of that wall. Children of Israel never laid hands on Jericho. All they did was do their part for 6 days, and then God's day showed up. And God did what they could not do. The whole time they were doing this, the presence of God was with them. If you want the presence of God in your life, pray. I don't think you heard what I just said there. The Ark of the Covenant was with them. The presence of God was with them in their prayer life. If you want the presence of God in your life, pray. Praise was there. The trumpets were there. If you want breakthrough in your life, pray with praise. Pray with praise. Pray with praise. Have you ever read one of David's prayers? Read the book of Psalms. It always cracks me up. I was looking at it this week. Remember when David would find himself in trouble? And the first half of his prayer was, oh God. Have you ever prayed one of those prayers? My enemies have surrounded me. My friends all left me. The first half of David's prayer was whining. Have you ever whined in prayer? Yeah. Right? We spend the first half whining. But then at some point in that prayer, it began to kick in. And he began to say, yes, I am pressed on every side. Yes, I am in difficult situations. No, this isn't fun. But what I know is that my God lives. What I know is that my God is faithful, that my God is able. My God will deliver me. And so there has to be that heart in us. So when we walk out of here today, two things I want you to remember. First of all, pray. Second of all, continue to pray. Pray and continue to pray. Does this mean anything to you this morning? Awesome. Can we just give the Lord a shout of praise and a hand this morning for that? Now, I want to end in a very specific way. I really felt of the Lord to do this. And so here's how I want to end. Remember that in Luke 11, the disciple asked Jesus, teach me to pray. And so as we end today, I would like to give you an opportunity to ask God to teach you to pray. That you would ask God to teach you to pray. How many of you would like for the Lord himself to teach you to pray? That your life would grow. So I didn't invite you to stand up because I want you to stay seated like this because of what I'm going to ask next to you. I really felt like what the Lord would have for us to do this morning. I want to invite you, if you feel comfortable to do this, even to kneel before the Lord right now. So if you're comfortable with that, would you just kneel before the Lord? If you're from a Catholic background, this will be real easy for you. So you don't have to, and nobody's judging you if you don't. But I just felt like we ought to kneel before the Lord. And I want you to bow your head, and I want you to ask God to teach you to pray. You ready? So, Lord, we know that this posture of kneeling does nothing for you, but what it does something in us, because what we are doing is humbling ourselves right now. And so, Lord, we posture ourselves in this way. I say, Lord, I want to be a disciple. And I want to raise disciples, Lord. I want us to be a church of disciples. And we cannot be that if we don't have a prayer life. But Lord, I need you to teach me to pray. There's so much to learn there, and I have to wrestle with my own flesh and my own desires and my own inhibitions, Lord. But I don't focus on that right now. Instead, I focus on you, Jesus. And I say, would you teach me to pray? Lord, would you teach me to pray instead of whine? Would you teach me to pray instead of complain? Lord, would you teach me, as we look at our nation, not just to rely on elections to make this nation right, but would you teach me to pray for our nation? Lord, to be the husband that I'm supposed to be, Lord, I need your strength. Help me to pray like a man of God. To be a father, help me to pray like a father, Lord. Every person that's asking this with sincerity this morning, God, I pray that you would grant it, Father. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray as individuals. Teach us to pray as families. Teach us to pray as a church. We ask this in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you'd also cause us to be persistent, Lord. Give us the grace to be persistent and to continue to pray and continue to pray and continue to believe and to continue to declare and stand. We ask you this, Lord. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You stand up with me now. I just feel for a moment of ministry right now. So let me just say this to you. I believe there's people sitting in here this morning who specifically your marriage is not where it should be or not where it needs to be. And your focus has been, well, if I could just fix him or if I could just fix her. And we spend a lot of energy and time trying to fix him or her. Anybody ever been there? I just want to encourage you to quit griping, quit nagging, quit fighting, and begin to pray. Begin to pray. Wives, begin to pray for your husbands. Pray for them. Pray for them and include thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you for this man of God that you've given me. I thank you that he has a destiny in you and that you've marked him. and you put good stuff on the inside of him. Listen, even if you don't see it yet, begin to speak it. Begin to pray for your husband. Husbands, begin to pray for your wives. Begin to bless your wives. Bible said that the job of a husband is to wash our wives with the water of the word. So when I pray for Lori, I say, thank you for this beautiful woman you've given me. And you've put gifts and talents on the inside of her. And I thank you that you're at work in her every day, bringing her to her full potential. And that she's a beautiful mother and a beautiful grandmother who's going to raise generations of faith. Can anybody hear what I'm saying? This is how you pray for your wife, washing her with the water of the word. Some of you have wayward children in here today. And boy, you've just been on them. If they just listen. Well, guess what? They're not just listening. But God. But God. But God. Can I tell you that at some point, no matter what is going on in that wayward child's life, at some point in the next 24 hours, they're going to lay their head on a pillow. When I pray for my kids, I say, Lord, when there's nothing else going on, when there's nothing, nobody else around, and it's just them and their head on that pillow, would you be there for them, Father? I hear Melanie over there. Melanie, how many, you have prayed your kids through, right? And I mean, now we have generations of faith come. They're on, the next generations are coming out of this, but it was because of a praying mother. Not a griping mother, not a controlling, manipulating mother, but a praying mother. Am I speaking to anybody in here today? Begin to pray, begin to pray, begin to pray. I do want to say to those of you, because I touched on it a minute ago, if you've just always had financial lack, if there's a financial, a curse of financial lack over your family, begin to pray. Begin to pray, begin to pray, begin to pray and to declare the word of God over your situation. Because I'm a tither, the windows of heaven are open over me. The windows of heaven are open over me, and a blessing is being poured out such that I can't even contain it. And the devourer's rebuked for my sake. You hear how that works? So in my prayer life, I begin to declare those things. If you need a financial breakthrough, I mean, there's other things to do. You need to give. You need to do some things. But begin to pray. Just bow your head right now. Lord, whatever the breakthrough that is needed this morning, would you just draw us into greater prayer, Lord? Greater prayer. In fact, I want to invite our prayer team up right now. I want to say this, if you're here today and say, Jody, I hear you, I need a breakthrough, and I'm going to pray, I'm going to commit to personal prayer. But if you need somebody to agree with you right now, if you need agreement for a breakthrough, would you begin to come down right now? If you need a breakthrough in any area, whether it's health or healing or finances or family or anything, if you need a breakthrough in your life, come down right now. Come down right now. Maybe you need a job or you need a better job. You need a career change. You need a breakthrough. Whatever it is, if you need a breakthrough, come down. Come on, right now. Begin to move right now if you need a breakthrough. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Find one of our prayer partners over here. All right. Church, we're a family here. And some of our family members are praying for breakthroughs. So here's what I want you to do. Let's just stretch our hands out toward them right now. And let's just pray for breakthrough. In Jesus' name, Lord God, whatever these situations are, we call for breakthrough right now in Jesus' name. We call for breakthrough. Walls to fall, victories to be won, gains to be made, Lord God, even beyond what they're physically capable of. We call on the God of heaven to bring breakthrough today in Jesus' name. And not only for these men and women, but for those who are sitting in the congregation, for those of you who are online watching us, I just claim breakthrough for you in Jesus' name, especially as you begin to pray and work and do what God has called you to do. May breakthrough come in Jesus' name. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough.